Okay, we're going to learn Derech Hashem. We're not going to read the introduction. If you want to, you can read it. It's very well done by Arya Kaplan in this beautiful English version.
I think as a kid, I owned the Way of the Jedi.
The Way of the Jedi? No. So now we're moving on to the Way of God. It's right. Good.
I wasn't.
Don't tell me there wasn't a kid that didn't try to move things with the horse when he was like, you know, come on. You're just not trying hard enough. Okay, it was written by Ramchal. I just want to point out one thing that caught my attention. Okay, the Ramchal, as many, he writes at the very end, he says, Luzzatto, Moshe Chaim Luzzatto, set up a gem cutter in Amsterdam. He didn't want to live a public life. I mean, this guy wrote unbelievable, important works of Jewish thought, and he had a clarity. See, it's not just... It's not just an ability and knowledge, but it's an ability to express yourself. It's a clarity of thought. It's a wisdom in a sense. And he didn't want to live a life as a rabbi. He wanted privacy. He was a gem cutter. Okay? And in 5500, the turn of the Jewish century, 1740, he published the Siyat Yesharim. Okay? And he longed for the Holy Land. So in 1743, he realized his goal and made Aliyah to Akko. 1743. Why? But he was not there for 3 years later. At the age of 39, he was killed by a plague.
In Akko.
By what? By a plague. He died from some kind of a plague in Akko. So you can imagine, like, and there's a certain irony also.
He wrote so many books.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. Really, it's unbelievable. And also Kaplan, who also translated him, who wrote so many important works, also died at a very young age. You know, heard of Arya Kaplan? Yeah, he wrote a lot of them, very important. Okay. So when I was searching for something, to study together, yeah. Well, sort of, translated to English, sort of. So I didn't really know what to go for, because on the one hand, I mean, I think we kind of exhausted Im Avanim Simecha, Baruch Hashem. You know, there's something you could learn the rest of it. It's very interesting. But it does get a little bit repetitive. It gets less repetitive at the end, where he really takes you through the travails. You really want to learn through it if you're interested, because you want to get a sense of his great despair at his inability to convince people to listen to him and to hear what he wanted to say. But nonetheless, we decided it was time to move on, so we're going to do Derech Hashem. You didn't bring a book, did you?
I didn't bring a book. No.
Do you own one? Maybe. Okay. Yeah,
probably.
Okay, so bring it.
Can
you go to home? What?
Next time.
You're going to follow next time. Okay, so the reason I decided to Derech Hashem, I was looking for something to do and to what to study. And I was looking for something on the one hand that is concise enough that you can read good chunks of it at a time, but also deep enough that it really engenders deeper study and is fodder for good discussion. And Derech Hashem is really perfect. My cousin, who's a Ram in Torah Chayim, suggested it. Simple Friedman, I don't know who he is. He suggested that we study it, and I did a few of the initial chapters, and highly recommend it. What? It was a good decision.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, either that or, you know, if you stop for a few times, people just start getting back. Okay. Come over here. Start over here. Says the Ramchal. We're going to start. So he really begins. It starts in the beginning. The beginning is like, what do we believe in? What are we doing here? He starts, you know, what in the world are we doing here? And he takes you from there. He starts from nothing, really, from creation, takes you into what humanity is, free will, and then goes on from there to what the Jewish people are. Okay, so it's really amazing how he does it. And what I hope to do with you is also, as we read through, we'll get a sense of what he wrote and what he quotes and what he doesn't quote. I mean, because obviously, if you're going to have a compendium, you're going to see certain things that you recognize. But you're going to wonder, why did he say this and he didn't say that, etc., etc. So says Ramchal, and you have the translation if you need it. Kol ish Yisrael tzarich shiyamin v'yeda shiyesh sham matzui rishon kadmon v'nitzchi v'hu shehimtzi umamtzi et kol ma shenimtza b'mtziut v'hu ahaloha baruch hu. Every Jewish Israelite person must, and I'm going to stop here. He uses very interesting language. She ya'amin v'yeda. Ya'amin means emunah, to believe. V'yeda,
no.
To know. Okay, so just to understand, there's a background of these two verbs. So we can stop for a few minutes and talk about, I would like to stop for a minute and talk about, what's the difference between to know and to believe? And why does Ramchal use both? So I'll throw something out there. What's the difference between to know and to believe?
To know is you have proof. To believe is something you don't have proof for.
Great. So how can you know and believe? Which raises the obvious question. How can you know and believe? I mean, based on the definition you just said, they are mutually exclusive. Are they not? Yes. If I have proof, I know. And if I don't have proof, I believe. And yet, Ramchal writes, a person has to believe and to know.
Well,
I can answer the belief. I'm not sure I can answer the know.
Okay.
I think the fundamental to Judaism is that whether we understand, whether we know, whether we can rationally explain it or not, fundamentally, if we want to be good Jews, we have to believe in God. So, but it doesn't work. It doesn't work any other way.
Okay.
Even if everybody tells you that, you know, 1 + 1 = 3, or 1 + 1 = God, right? You need to believe. You need to believe that God, there's one God, and God exists.
Well, it's interesting you use the term God. He doesn't...
In a being.
He hasn't...
Oh, he does.
Can I just want to make one correction?
Yeah.
It's not 1 + 1, it's 6 × 7.
Six times seven? Is that a Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy? 42? Okay. Even I get that.
Yes.
Well, we're dating ourselves, aren't we? Yes. Okay. Can
you claim that the maybe. Heart is believing? It's the opposite way around. The head is believing and the heart is knowing.
I look at my notes. I took notes. This is to tell you something, right? Okay. I look at my notes and I say emunah is intellectual and da'at is practical or tangible. And I have no idea what I mean. Emunah is emotional. That's exactly what you said, the opposite.
The Shulchan Aruch
says,
when you put on tefillin, your rosh is for your
intellectual
and your emunah, and the knowledge is in your heart. That's the one you're binding by your heart.
Knowledge is emotional? Belief?
No, knowledge is in your heart, and your belief, the more intangible, is with your head. Right, so it's brought down.
Doesn't it seem like it would go the other way around?
It normally would go the other way around.
It would say, How?
Don't look at me, I'm just...
What about you? So what it says to me is Naseh ben Ishma.
When you get that... No.
I don't know. The first thing you do is you accept.
He is not saying that. We're not talking about that. We're talking about...
Hold on.
What?
I might be wrong. But this is
We're talking about...
Let me finish. Now, say is whatever you say,
yeah.
There is a rationalness and an irrational.
Irrational and an irrational.
You don't need to think through it. You just need to accept. Just do it to believe.
Fine.
And then we'll know is the Nishma. You go out, you study, you this, your experience, your things will, you'll integrate things which say to you, I understand, I know, I don't need to believe anymore because I'm talking to that point.
The other thing I was thinking is something along Airline Air was saying, the second thing in my notes, which makes sense to me actually, is that Emunah is faith with doubt. Meaning, I believe, even though I don't know. I accept, even though I have no way of knowing for sure. I just accept. We call that the leap of faith. Something without proof.
You don't have doubt about it.
Really?
The concept of faith is...
Faith is doubtless?
Faith is exactly that. Faith is, I don't know it's true.
So that's doubt.
If you don't have questions, you don't really believe it.
People believe
then
it
you know.
Beyond a doubt.
Huh?
I mean, people believe it beyond a doubt. I mean, people are so... Belief can be so much more tangible than anything they can see. They can't get beyond their belief sometimes.
Well, one second. People can accept and take that leap of faith to the point where they will act on their belief more than they act on their what they know. But that doesn't mean that they don't doubt. Is it possible to know God?
Knowing the Ramchal, I can't imagine that he's professing the importance of doubt.
Of doubt? You don't think so?
No, he's not. That's not his style at all. Okay. His style is like, you know, this is very simple, and if you don't believe, then, like, you're so good.
See, he just...
So I think it's like, v'yadata yom eshmo yom.
Good, but that's exactly my point.
No, what is v'yadata yom eshmo?
Very good.
You have a knowledge, like, the Hashem is derebono shalom, Hashem is in charge, whatever. It's not a question of whether I know or I don't know. That's the information. V'ashivot yom eshmo, and I live it. It is me.
Hold on a second. Just understand, though, if you're the Ramchal and you're writing this book, you're writing this, like, little, this, like, mini handbook. It's like Cliff's Notes on Judaism, on everything.
Right.
It's really like the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, in a sense.
Right.
So you would be very, very careful about what words you use, especially the first sentence.
It's just saying that's given.
Yeah.
Start off with
this. Let me read for you what the Rambam writes at the very beginning of Hilchot, Hilchot Yesod HaTorah. Says the Rambam, Yesod HaYesodot Ve'amud HaChachmot, just starts with Yud-Heh Bamei, right? Leida sheyesh shem matzui rishesha matzui rishon. So what does the Rambam not say?
Belief.
He says leida, to know.
You gotta know.
Elsewhere, the Rambam does use the word lehaamin. In the Sefer Mitzvos, he says lehaamin, to be believe in God. He does use the word lehaamin. But this idea that the Ramchal just sort of chose willy nilly leida lehaamin, I don't think so. He didn't just throw it out there. He's saying something. So the question becomes, what does it mean? So now we're at a little bit of a disadvantage, I believe, because we really have no sense of Kabbalistic terms. I won't say out there, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Apparently, if you know Kabbalah, Mesillas Yesharim is a lot more interesting than just the Musar book. So they said. But I can't help you there. What is interesting, though, is if you read and you study the thought of Rav Kook a little bit, you will know that they speak about Emunah in a very different way than we speak about Emunah. Our Emunah, when we speak about Emunah, we talk about it in intellectual terms, exactly the way I said it to you. Emunah is believing, accepting with doubt. Overcoming your doubt and accepting. You understand what I'm saying? Meaning there's belief, there's knowledge, there's intellectual knowledge, and then there's lack of knowledge, but a willingness to accept despite the lack of knowledge. It's a very antiseptic kind of perspective of what Emunah is. So I did a little internet search, and I was trying to, like, what's the difference between emunah and to know and to believe? So I found an answer, and this very much reflects, and it was written by somebody in the Gush, I think, okay, and it very much reflects things that I've seen in Rav Kook before, I don't remember where, and Rav Tzvi talks about it as well, this idea of emunah, okay? He says the following. This is from the Kippa website. You can look it up if you want. Emunah, lo mochichim basechel. You don't prove emunah in the intellect. Hu katan vechelki bidai. The intellect is too small to appreciate emunah. And so, but that also means that emunah is not faith. That's a mistranslation.
That's what Rav Tachta was saying.
Did he?
Yeah, he was saying, don't fight anybody. Don't try and rationalize things the way you've got. If God exists or doesn't exist.
It's a mistranslation. Emunah does not mean to believe. Rather, Emunah hi hakesher v'achibur shel habore hamitchaber el hanivra. Emunah, I have to translate this, is the connection and the tie between the creator and the created. Emunah hi axioma. It's axiomatic. Devar kayam kumo shar hachushim shelanu. It's a sense. It's not an intellect. It's a sense. It's like your sense of sight, your sense of smell. You have a sense of emunah. Nobody taught us how to use it. He says, emunah hi yidya misug acher. It's a different kind of knowledge. Lo yidya sichlit. It's not an intellectual knowledge, but it's a knowledge of connection. Emunah, when a person has faith in God, doesn't mean you believe in God. It means you are connected to God. You're connected to the Ribono Shel Olam in a tangible, realistic way. And you like that? Right? It's very powerful. And to translate it into faith, I don't know, and therefore I can believe, it's to cheapen it, and to you try to translate it into a term that's incorrect. So every person, if you accept that definition, what the Ramchal is saying is, kol ish mizrael tzarich shiyahamin He has to tangibly feel and connect the Yeda and intellectually know Shiyesh Sham Matsui Bisham. To know that there is this first presence, this first being. Kadmon, original, Nitzvi, eternal. Shoot. What?
Where did he get this idea from, this connection idea? I mean, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
But he's the first guy to do it.
No, it's definitely a Kabbalistic concept of Amunah. I've seen it in Rav Kook, but I think it comes from way, way, way before that. I can't really tell you. I've seen it before, but it's very powerful. Like, to think about Amunah in a very different way. Right? Amunah is the sense that you have that God is in our lives, that God is here. It's not something that you believe or think about. It's something. It's your connection to HaKadosh Baruch
Hu. That's the way that like Rav Arush describes it. Describes that Amunah basically is this understanding that like every single thing that's going on in your life is coming from the Ribbono Shel Olam.
But it's not a thinking. It's a sense. That's what he's saying. It's not. You don't think about it. You don't like, oh, everything is in my life. I feel my connection to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and it has to be nurtured and developed. It's not something that you get. You know what I'm saying?
Of course you think about it. I mean, what else do you have? I mean, it's not like a tingly feeling.
No, it's kind of what it is.
It's a tingly feeling. You of all people have that tingly feeling, that sense of Ribbono Shel Olam is in your life, without thinking about it.
It's an awareness.
The sense of connection.
But that's, I don't know, you have to, I mean, it's not like a physical force.
Really?
It's got to be something that's mental. I mean, it's...
Why not? Emotion is not, or sense.
Emotion, but it's...
Your sense of smell is mental?
See, that's what I'm saying, it's not a physical smell. I don't smell the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't.
Hearing. Is it physical?
Yeah.
Okay, but you see it?
No.
So maybe there's a physical connection that we just don't see.
I don't understand. You lost me completely.
Maybe the Emunah with God is something that...
It's a sense you can't think about. It's not one of the five senses.
Six senses.
you think about it. You have to think about it. In fact, that's the beauty of it. The beauty, the way that you're successful is when you actually do think about it. When you say, you know, I've always wanted to learn Derech Hashem, and I came to a shiur about Emunah Bat Tzmecha, and wow, it turned into a shiur about Derech Hashem.
Wow.
And I'm just saying, like that's Emunah. Like, I mean, it's not, Emunah is not like, you know, I don't know.
And let me just read what he says, okay? I'll just read what he says. This is that he goes like this. He says, Emunah V'yidiyat Hashem, our faith and our knowledge of God. So they're connected. To know God, it's interesting that he writes that. To know God, I mean, that was basically the question. Novaat gam meham mifgash shelanu mitoh yitbarach. It emanates from our mifgash, our meeting with God. Mitoch limud ha-historia shel am Yisrael bifrat. You can learn Jewish history. Somebody said something this week that Jewish history is meta-history. It's above history. It's not real history.
Meta-history?
Yeah.
What does it mean?
I think he meant above history. That's what he said. V'yitpatchut ha-olam v'chlal, development of the world. Lirot magamot v'kivunim mechuvanim milamala. To see magamot, designs and directions that are directed from above. Me'ayin yatzanu la'an anu holchim. Where have we come from? Where are we going? U'bi'ikar, ech ribono shel olam melaveh otanu l'chol orech haderech. Right? How does the Kadosh Baruch Hu accompany us the whole way? Our whole study spoke about it this week. I gave him a hard time, but he spoke about it in Shul. He said this idea of Emunah is the sense that you do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do. We spoke about it in the context of Shemitah. Right? You do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants you to do, and that as you do what He wants you to do, He will be there before you and do what you need Him to do. There's a sense of partnership. Yeah, in a sense. Okay? Bashkecha pratit, either for personally, or al'am kulo, v'al'adam prati, ha'movil l'mitziyat yudu v'shlichuto, to bring each person to his personal goals, his personal yi'ud, his destiny. Okay? Then he writes in the end, Al tigeish, don't give up. Ladat, lehitchaber, lehaamin, zo avogda gdola. This is the kind of sense that you don't have. It's almost like the force. You have it, but you have to learn how to use it. You know what I'm saying? You have to learn how to focus it. You have to learn how to connect to it.
Where does that worry you?
Search on the Kibbutz website for ladat ulehaamin. Okay?
Random source.
But it's one of those like shooting, you know, people sending emails. Right, this is a very classic question. The reason, you know, very often you can find this stuff. It's a classic question. How they seem internally contradictory. And the answer is, so the question is, we asked was, how can you know something and believe if they seem to contradict each other? The answer is, they don't contradict each other. They only contradict each other because we misdefined what Emunah is.
According to this guy.
according to this guy. But if you redefine what emunah is, okay, I'm going to need that in a second. If you redefine what emunah is,
a mainstream understanding of what you meant here.
I'll just say this. The Chinuch writes, okay? Mitzvah HaPeh. The belief is, La'amin, he starts this idea, they all write La'amin, except for the Rambam, he says Leida. La'amin sheyesh lo'olam Eloha echad shehimtzi kol ha'nimtza. But then he goes on, okay, he brings a pasuk, Anoch Hashem lokecha, upirush kiru amar. What does it mean? What is the problem that all the Mepharshim deal with is, right, how many commandments are there? How many commandments are there?
613.
No, how many mitzvot? How many commandments are there?
10.
10 commandments. Good. What's the first commandment?
14. Anochi Hashem.
What's the first commandment?
It's not a commandment.
Correct. It's a statement.
It's a statement.
Correct. It's not a commandment.
No, what's a mitzvah. Anochi Hashem. There's a mitzvah of Yediyah, the Rebbeinu Shlomo HaMelech, whatever.
Very good. That's exactly what the Chinuch says. Ki ilu amar. You know, everybody, every parashah struggles with this. As if it says, Teidu v'ta'aminu sheyesh lo'olam eloha. Know and believe. So this is not a, he didn't make up the Ramchal, did not make up this phrase of know and believe. But it's worthwhile
there's
to
two mitzvot.
What?
There's two mitzvot.
Well, same thing. One thing.
Know and believe.
One thing.
Well, then
the same thing. Saying that your belief should be a pure knowledge?
No, that's Leida. That's Leida.
No, that your Leida is, you know it, you have no doubt about it, and your belief should be in the same way that your knowledge is.
Leida ulahamin or laha tzarich yamin.
So I should say that. Should say that.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Sense,
yeah, I don't think so. I just don't think he's throwing it in there. I think he was going towards this notion of emunah,
okay,
of belief. Yeah. Are you going to say something here? You're fine. Okay. Who? What do you have to believe? Is this matzuri rishon, this original force, presence? We're going to come back to this himtzi. Who lahamtzi means?
To find. No, to create.
Create, to bring into existence. Umam, he brought into existence. Umamtzi. Mamtzi means continues to bring into existence. Kol ma shenimtza b'metziut. Anything found in existence. Meaning, for anything to exist, it had to be created. It was created, and it's continually being created, okay, and there's a force that is doing this creation, and this force we happen to call God. Okay, very good. That's the aloka. But I think it's worthwhile.
Sounds like the Rambam was like Yud Gimel Midas or whatever.
Sounds exactly like Yisodei Hamuna. Right. Correct. We're going to get off of that probably after today, very quickly. Okay, he's basically summarizing the first chapter in other words of Hilchot Yisodei Hamuna, but he's leaving a bunch of stuff out, adding a couple of things in. But what's interesting is that the language that they use is like you originally said, you have to believe in God. There's a danger of saying that. As soon as you give it a name and take away its function, right, you, how should we say this, you distance yourself from it. Do you believe in God? Sure I do. What's God? I don't know, I believe in God. Great.
Master of the universe.
That's different. What you said is different than what I said. Do you believe in God? Yes. What do you believe? I believe in God. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can, we allow ourselves, I think this is an element of Yetzirah in a sense. We allow ourselves to distance ourselves from asking, what is it do I actually believe? By saying that I believe in God. By giving it a name, and by
it's
removing
like
its function.
I love God. What does that mean?
Right.
Nothing.
Correct. What does it mean you believe in God? What?
To keep Shabbos.
And what happens? That's exactly the point.
That's the way humans are.
The Chazal knew that was going to happen. So what did they say? They said, you know, let's institute something to remind you each and every week before you start doing it, why am I doing this? So what did they institute? No. They instituted something called Kiddush. What is Kiddush? Let me tell you all why it is we're about to not do all the things we have to do, we are the news. Why? Because God rested on this day, so I too will rest on this day. But what, of course, do we do? I do. We recite the Kiddush in Hebrew. We say the words. Give it no thought whatsoever. Drink the wine and move on. No? Maybe you don't. Many people, many very religious people. I know, so let's get the words out. But the problem is that according to many Shikto, if you don't have in mind the idea that I rest because God rested, you were not Yotzei Yidei Kiddush.
That's why
it's pretty heavy.
Look at the candles.
What?
So I just look at the candles to remind you.
Really?
Really, that would be the only thing.
Supposed to look at it. Anyway, so I think this is also true about when we say I believe in God, that's great, but it's much more powerful to say I believe that there is a force that did and continues to create the entire world, right? And because of which we continue to exist right now. So that's a very powerful statement, and it's different than say I believe in God. It's much more.
I think that's limiting.
Then I believe in God?
No. That is all about creation.
What would you say?
It's not creation, it's constant
existence. No, it's constant existence.
We understand God in different ways.
Every
we
breath
understand the God of love, the God of war, the God of the Jews. The
well,
God
get there. Hold on. Ozoich Jeda. Actually, I'm very strongly intending to finish this whole thing in one day. So we're going to fight. Ozoich Jeda. You should also know. Uh-oh. Listen. Shehamatsui hazeh yitvarach shemo ein amitiyat mitziut museket zulato klal. The truth of his existence cannot be comprehended other than by it, by this creator. V'rak zeh nodeh bo, shehu matsui shalem, b'chol minei shlemut, v'lo nimsa bo chesaron klal. Meaning, you can't appreciate the shlemut, the completion, the wholeness of this existence of this force for a very simple reason.
You're limited.
Okay? So then we're stuck with the problem. Because if I can't appreciate that this force exists because by definition I'm limited and don't appreciate it, then...
I don't think that's it.
You're like so far ahead. Go back like 50 steps. And how am I supposed to know if it really is true? Again.
What, just because you don't know the final answer, how are you meant to solve the issue?
What final answer? Okay?
Where have you got?
I am the greatest basketball player in the world. Do you accept that?
Yes.
You do?
Yeah, I think it's possible.
You think it's possible? There's only one problem. You can never watch me play a game. But just accept it. Why? Because you wouldn't be able to appreciate my level of basketball playing, it would be so fast you wouldn't even see it. No, you just know I went.
The king has no clue.
Shot, exactly. I went, scored, and came back just now. I mean, you wouldn't know.
I heard 600,000 men, so you did it.
Ah, very good. Okay. So that's, you understand? So that's the problem. The conundrum is, if we're so limited as not to appreciate the completeness of this being, how do we know that it's true? So the Ramchal has a few answers. Ulan, Dharam Elu, one. Yedanum bekabbalah min ha'avot u'min ha'nevi'im. One, we were taught it. It was passed down. Two, hisigum kol Yisrael b'ma'amad har Sinai ve'amdu ala mitatam be'bevur. This is actually one of the most significant things about Ma'amad har Sinai. It's not that they received the Torah on har Sinai. The Jewish people experienced God on har Sinai. Ad kedei kach, the Midrash says, what happened to them at har Sinai? They all died. Why did they die? They had to die. Because if they didn't die, they could never appreciate, if they didn't leave this existence, they could never appreciate what it means to understand what God is. So it literally killed them. Would it kill you to find out? Yeah, it would kill them. So it killed them. But after which they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, you know, maybe you talk to God and we'll stay back here. They did that. Moshe Rabbeinu said, great, no problem. But the idea was they had to have that sense of revelation at least once. In
but
order
also,
to pass
also
down.
It wasn't even the full experience.
Probably not. Right, okay. Then.
I'm clarifying. Moshe didn't even see the full.
The way he uses it, he says, V'hisigum kol Yisrael. Hasig means to attain or contemplate or appreciate. Okay, well, they do with the Dor Achador, Kayamazen. Then they pass that down generation to generation. Shekain, Sivam Moshe Rabbeinu Allah Vashalom Biyadvura. Moshe Rabbeinu commanded, "Pen tishkach et darim shel ro'einecha, v'hodatam levanecha levevanecha." You have to. You must transmit this idea, this fact. Meaning that the words of the Torah are easy, in a sense. Much harder is transmitted in this notion that we were at Har Sinai. There's a problem with this. What's the problem? The problem with it is, it's a little bit lost now.
What do you mean?
Do you have in the summer from your parents, from your grandparents, that they experienced God at Har Sinai?
Sure.
I'm a living.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay then. Was that great? Your parents sat you down one day and said, I just want you to know, one day my parents told me that we were at Har Sinai.
It's a common answer. Where, what, why?
I have this book at home.
Yeah.
I've got that.
Yeah.
It was
book at home.
Gonna give it back up.
It's like signed by...
God?
No. By generations. I got generations in the book.
Okay. Again, that's very nice. But we're not talking about... I understand what you're saying. But we're not talking about an intellectual knowledge. We're talking about an experience that had to be experienced and passed on. All right. I'll take your word. Amen. God mitzara chakira b'moftim ha-limudim.
I mean, what about those people that, like, they trace their lineage back to the Velagon and back to Rashi?
Yeah.
But they don't have the Masorah that, like, God spoke to the Jews at Har Sinai.
You should just know that most people can trace their lineage back to Rashi. I know.
Right.
Pretty much everybody. There's this website called Jenny.com.
Noach.
What?
Back to Noach.
You got back to Noach? Are you Jewish?
Adam Morishon.
Really? Cool. Okay. The problem is the Jewish communities are so intermingled by now that pretty much everyone is related to Russian. All right, his ancestor. Really? Cousin. Okay.
Yeah, Russian is French.
He says, Amnam. Ga mitzara chakira b'moftim halimudim. Yeah, I'm too calling him Elu. He says the following. The concepts, I'm just going to read his translation, can be logically verified by demonstrable proofs. V'yuchach heyotam kein mikoch hanimtzaot u'misigehem asher anachnu ro'im be'inenu api chachmat ha'teva ha'handasa ha'tchuna u'shar ha'chachmat. These, through such scientific disciplines as physics and astronomy, certain basic principles can be derived. On the basis of these, clear evidence for these concepts deduced. Do you think that's true? Do you think that's true?
Do you think
that scientifically we can prove the existence of God?
Yeah. So thanks.
No, I'm saying that's not scientific proof.
I think we can prove the same. Why not?
He wrote it 1740 or 1750 when he wrote it. He felt that scientifically the advancement of science was going to lead people to understanding of the sophistication of the world and belief in God.
I mean, how can you...
Isn't it ironic, though?
Stephen Hawking just proved there was no God.
Correct, exactly. Is it?
He's a cripple. What does he know? Sorry.
Yeah, you take that back.
It's being recorded. Be careful.
Yeah.
I mean, no one else would.
Yeah.
I mean, but, like, if you look at, like, the wonders of creation, how can you... Like,
how is it that great, great, great scientists look at the wonder of creation and say...
They're not honest with them.
So basically we're saying that every scientist who doesn't believe in God is dishonest.
Everyone
believes
at the end.
Oh, okay. I listen to this like podcast that I listen to. It's called Slate Political Guy, Gadfest, whatever you want to probably run or listen to The Dishes or whatever. And there were these, they're very liberal, of course, because everybody in the American media is liberal. And all they said was they were lamenting, they were talking about this presidential candidate named Rick Perry, who is
kills people for nothing.
Who is a faithful Christian. And they were lamenting the fact...
He does. He's killed more people than anybody.
They were
else.
Lamenting the fact...
He has rescinded their punishments. Why hasn't killed them?
They were lamenting the fact that how could it be, like he has come out and said, that the theory of evolution is only a theory that hasn't been scientifically verified, and that what's it called? Design?
Intelligent design.
Intelligent design is also a theory. And they were like, can you believe that? So this guy's running for president and he actually believes that there's a being that created all of existence?
There are some people that have called...
That's not what you're saying.
It's the same people that like called Bashar Assad like a great diplomat.
But this is the intelligent, quote-unquote, intelligent people of the world today... scoff at what we're saying.
the ignorance of science. Just because science exists doesn't mean, you know, your belief in God doesn't exist. I mean, that's the problem that they have right now.
What are they scoffing at? I'm lost.
They're scoffing that he doesn't believe in evolutionary theory.
Correct.
Or different sciences in general.
Correct.
That's what they're scoffing at. Not that the fact that he's a religionist.
No, that's not true.
They're scoffing at the fact that he's bought into like the whole sappy God story.
Correct.
And that's just the way that people. That's like
in today's day and age.
That's what happens when people don't want to think about reality. Their response is to make fun of those that do.
So you mock everyone who doesn't believe as lazy and intellectually dishonest.
I don't mock them. I just
the cripples. One mock.
Just the cripples. Right.
I'm not mocking them. I just think that people are not honest with them.
All I'm saying is that this study, this belief that the Ramchal felt science would lead humanity to accept and understand is not only not accepted, it's scoffed at and ridiculed. That's what's most important to me.
But so that is people the fact who, like, so is,
oh, without a doubt, people
so
who believe in the Ramchal
didn't exist. Like, people
what?
Claim that the Holocaust never existed.
I understand that, but people who are considering themselves advanced look at us and say the fact that we would consider that there's an all-powerful being would makes us primitive. You don't agree that there's a large swath of Western civilization that believes that?
What are you saying?
I don't think they're necessarily advanced or with a higher IQ. They just, that's the way.
In the most scientific, the most advanced age in which we live, all the proofs in the world don't help them. That's what I'm saying.
People in the world that fight with a fellow football team because they wear the other colour shirt. It's not really a worthwhile discussion in relation to what we're trying to
okay.
Think about.
Okay. All I'm saying is
science changes.
Science does change every 10 minutes.
Every 10 minutes.
I agree with you. But all I'm saying is he felt that
theories change.
He just felt that we could prove it scientifically. And I think that history has told us now that you can't run. Okay. Ella, he says, we're not going to get into that now. Ella, amitat, okay, the amitam. We're going to give a few introductory principles. Unisadir on page 32. Okay, let's get into it. Okay, you have to know also. He could not have existed, created, and left. Right, if this all powerful being would depart the scene, right, we would no longer exist. Dalit, other shi'ida, you also have to know. Shemitziutoy yitbarach shemo eno talui bezulatot klal, ela me'atzrohu muchrach ha'metziut. Actually, this is another paraphrase of the Rambam in Yisodei HaTorah. Very important, but he says it actually more clearly than the Rambam does. He says, we need him to exist, but he doesn't need us to exist. If we didn't exist, he would. But if he didn't exist, we would not. That's all that means. Okay? Hey, v'chein zarech yeida, you also have to know, shemitziutot yitbarach shemo mitziut pashut, b'li harkavav ribui klal. God's existence, and this I think is something that is impossible for us to comprehend. It's simple. Without any, how does he say it? One second. Without any additional qualities or structures whatsoever. The completeness of God is found in God, in this creative force, in the simplest way. Perush. He's going to explain. I just want to point out, the Rambam, when he talks about this, in terms of let's say, for example, of every physical being, right, is made up of parts. So, for example, I have a heart, I have lungs, I have kidneys, I have whatever, and all those parts are formed to make a single whole. God is not like that. There is no parts to God. There's only one God. And the Rambam says, that's what we mean when we say, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. God is one. He is undivisible. There is no parts. It's only one thing. Which is also something that it's difficult for us to comprehend. So the Ramchal takes that same principle, but he puts it in a very different way. It's literally very amazing how he says it. He says, "Benefesh." He doesn't look at it in terms of the physical. He does it in terms of the nefesh, in terms of personality, in terms of attributes. Yimatsu kochot rabim mishonim shekol lecha mehem gideiwa b'vnei atzmo. Each person has different attributes or domains, he calls them. Derech mashal hazikaron kochot chad. Your memory is one power, one domain you have. Ratzon, will is another. Hadimyon, your imagination, kochot acher. Ve'en echad me'ele nichnas v'geder chaveiro klal. Like a psychologist would have a field day with this, right? You have memory, you have desire, you have, what's the third one? Will, you have imagination, and they're all separate parts of a personality. But, kihine, geder hazikaron, geder achad. Right? Your memory is one unit. Geder haratzon, will, geder acher, is another unit. Eina ratzon, nichnas v'geder zikaron, v'zikaron is geder ratzon, mechen kulam. You could say, I want, ice cream. I want ice cream right now. Am I remembering ice cream? Is it about memory that I want ice cream now? Does my memory influence or conflict with or intersect with my desire? Maybe my memory can trigger my desire, but they're not intertwined. They're separate parts of my personality. Right? I'm not imagining myself eating ice cream. Okay, is that imagination? Am I remembering my imagination? No, those are all separate. Okay, so we are divided into separate. Our personalities are divided. Desire, hatred, anger, whatever you want to call them. Like all these different attributes of the human being. Ach Adon Baruch Hu einenu bal kochot shonim. But God, we call him God, this master, blessed be he, doesn't have different kochot, different powers or different qualities. In us, they're different. These attributes do manifest themselves in God. Amnam, but amitat mitziato mitziuto hu inyan echad shekolel ba'amitato gdeiro kol mashehu shleimut. He says, but God isn't all of these separate things. Rather, in God, it's all one thing. It's all unified. It's all shleimut. It's all completion.
How can we emulate God if he's so different?
Benimza, hold on a second. You asked a great question, because we're going to get, that's the second chapter. Go right ahead. On Gai Benimza, she'esh bo ko ha-shleimut, lo kedabar nosaf al mahuto v'amit anina. It's not like the shleimut is added on to him. It is the essence of God. Everything about God is unified. It's all one. You ask the question, how do we emulate God? I mean, obviously we're limited. He's going to talk about that. We're limited. We cannot come to that point of complete shleimut. We can't. But we can come to the point where the attributes in us that are pulling us apart, our goal is to unify them together. Meaning, we're being pulled in different directions, correct? But if we can overcome that pull and push towards the direction where we know we're supposed to go, where those different parts of us are not pulling us anymore in different directions, right? That, in a sense, is a kind of shlemut. And that's why I found his illustration of the idea of the shleimut of God in terms of attributes so very powerful. Because like, okay, you're not going to unify your arm and your heart. You know what I'm saying? Like, that physical aspect of creation, it's not something that we can't change. That physical aspect.
You need to be singular in your purpose.
Correct.
You need to be focused on the prize.
Correct. Focus on the prize. Right. But the eye is on the prize, and the prize is the right thing. And all of your desires and your yearnings and your goals and your memory and your imagination, all of those are focused on that one thing.
Which is
how we're going to do that. We're going to talk about that. Correct.
Right. I mean, that's
then you begin to emulate God.
That's one of the biggest challenges that we have. I mean, it's just to just eliminate all of the distractions and false gods that we have.
See, you're using very like interesting terms. You know what I'm saying? Let's try to unify. All the false gods. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean like all of the parts of us, like, you know, the parts of us that when we're in a shiur or in the middle of davening, we have kavana, that we feel like God over there, you know, like we love God. And then there's all of the rest of the time when we're mucking around, doing whatever it is. That's the parts that are not unified.
See, what's interesting to me is, I would say it in a different way. You have already disunified your existence by saying that there is when I'm with God, and all the rest of the time is when I'm mucking around.
That's what I'm saying. That's
whereas, what I'm saying. I think what Ramchal is getting at is you're mucking around.
It's just a waste of time.
Well,
no.
Your goal is to get your mucking around time also to be, to merge those
that's
two.
That's what I'm saying. That's
to where
I'm
everything
saying.
You do is with a sense of awareness of God.
Right.
Yeah, I think you can play frisbee with a focus on God.
Enochinami, you could do any specific act other than things that are usher.
Correct.
With a focus on the Rabbanishna.
Correct.
The problem is that when I said false gods, I meant like time when we're in the belief that something else is important, like money or personal kavod.
But you see how this concept of shleimut, how powerful it is, because there's no end. There's no end to
this. This is classic Ramchal. This is like Messias Hashan. This is like when, like, you know, say the building on only up to like three pages or something like that.
Really, I can believe that.
Like, because he said like he couldn't continue because he hadn't finished the first few pages.
He didn't need to read shleimut in there. What up?
Every word was perfect.
I read this and I was taken by it. Just the power of the concept of the yearning for shleimut in because shleimut isn't in one thing. Shleimut is shleimut in everything. You know what I'm saying? It's in the way you react to other people. It's in the way you're yearning for God. It's in the way you muck around. It's in the way that you daven.
And the goal is
to bring all those things ever closer together,
right?
So that your davening and your frisbee are essentially one and the same, which seems impossible.
Is this what Kohelet was trying to get at?
What?
Is this what Kohelet was trying to get at?
No idea. No, I don't. Why would you say that?
I don't know. Trying to every aspect of life, every type of thing.
I think it's very different. Kohelet was trying to experience everything.
But was he in a physical sense?
But
he was trying to, you know, have lots of horses and lots of
women
and lots of
cake.
No.
Let's study Kohelet a different day. Vihine. How much time do I have? 2 minutes?
Yeah.
That's a problem. Derech hazeh rachok ma'od me'asagot. Can't even see rain. It's a very difficult distance from us. Kimat she'ein lanu derech leva'aro umilot leparashah. Up to the point where we don't even have words to describe it. Why? Ki ein siyureinu v'dimyoneinu tofsim ele inyanim mugvalim b'gvul ha Teva, Hanibra, Menibra. Meaning, because why? This Shleimut, we just know, we speak about Shleimut. We can only sort of like, you know, scratch at the surface of the Shleimut, but our creation is such that we're not. What? We're not built that way. We're not able to comprehend it. That's all we can appreciate in our intellect. In the created world, the physical world, everything is separate. This notebook is not part of me, it's not all one. Where it's separate. How far did I get? Okay.
It's so demoralizing.
Why? I think it's awesome. It's so inspiring.
It's so powerful. It's so foreign to the way that we're, at least I feel like I was.
Start thinking about it. Ponder the Ramchal. Ponder the Shleimus. I'm serious. Ponder the Shleimut.
What?
Just the rock.
Okay. No, I'm just saying like, life is built on, like, you work really hard and you go on vacation. And that's, like, totally antithetical to the way that you really live life in Yiddishkeit. I mean, like, that's, like, the Western culture. It's, like, you know, you have golden handcuffs because at the end of the day you go home in your whatever fast car and, you know, you party.
Well, it's good.
You know, you work hard and then we'll get drunk.
We're not going to identify you, but it's good that you work in the medical profession in Israel where they don't pay you enough to live like that.
That's not the point. Whether or not we have a bicycle or a roller skates or whatever, the bottom line is that there's no vacation from life. There is no summer vacation.
Well,
the fact that,
one second.
The fact that
I would disagree with that. The idea of vacation is to remove yourself from your normal, everyday whatever, from your everyday routine, in order for A, to appreciate the routine and to reevaluate whether that routine is leading you in the direction towards the shleimut that you want. The shleimut is... No, it's not.
Shabbat.
Ponder the shabbat, everything. Ponder the shleimut. I'm telling you, think about it. Because the more you think about it, the more powerful it is. We'll get back to it next week.